to follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy three-hour program lined up today. Okay, among our guests, Ryan Kramer is going to join the program coming up in 30 minutes, sports gambling podcast. He loves to bet on touchdown scores, first, any, many. And he had a great year with the first touchdown scores of the game. He's in studio. Ed Sammons, Superbook, risk management, VP over there. We'll get his thoughts on the drop-off from Knicks to Stidham. Adam Chernoff on the two title games and Chris Massaro, who won the Friday Invitational here at Circa and on VSiN. A New England fan in studio coming up in a couple of hours as well. So, Pauly, we have some point spread movement today. And we also have a game in which these two teams are playing for the third time this year in the NFC. And I went, that game still bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody holding Rams future tickets, I can't get that game out of my head because they'd have the one seed. They'd be playing this game at home today if they didn't blow that game. And I went back and the game I'm talking about, of course, was in overtime. The dumb two-point conversion that never should have been a thing. But the Seahawks needed to convert three of those to eventually win the game. They did 38-37 in overtime. When you go back and look at the box score, first of all, the Rams tried to punch them in the mouth to begin the game, right? They came out running the football. Five of the first six plays were rushes with Kyren Williams. He had 23 yards. McVay went for it not once but twice on the opening drive on fourth down, including at their own 38-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually turned the ball over on the Seattle 39-yard line. So after that turnover on downs, Seattle hit a big pass to Kenneth Walker, and they scored two plays later. There was a common theme in that game, and that was Seattle went three and out a lot. They turned the ball over a couple of times. They never had a long, sustained drive until overtime. And by that, I mean they had explosive plays throughout the game, like a 55-yard touchdown by Kenneth Walker. They had the long punt return by Rashid Shaheed.
That changed. The game was over.
Yeah, for sure. Done. It's over with.
Yeah.
They had their first drive of the game that was actually going to do something was right before halftime, and the cup fumbled. Other than that, if the Rams could eliminate the big play threat here in this game, I'm talking about now on Sunday, I don't know if the Seahawks are going to move the ball that much. That might sound dumb, like, hey, dummy, that's part of the game. I understand that. But you take that away from the previous game, and the Rams would have absolutely blown the doors off of the Seahawks.
Well, I'm not sold on this Rams defense. And another takeaway from that game, 580 yards, and they didn't have Adams.
That's correct.
Stafford did whatever he wanted, and four tight ends caught a pass in that game for the Rams. Also, the big takeaway, right now as we sit here today, Rams are plus 15 in the turnover differential. Seattle's minus four. How big is that on Sunday? And they're also trying to become the sixth team to win three in a row on the road in the playoffs. And you are right. And that's why the league should look at this. You're 14-5, yet you're the five seed, and you have to go on the road again here where it's just how they decide to do this in Carolina got the home playoff game. In any event, the thing I can't get past, though, is also he was awesome until he hurt his finger against Carolina. Stafford has not been the same quarterback. He had the great drive to win it and the beautiful pass and a better catch by Parkinson and the tippy-toe touchdown. But he has not played well since he hurt his finger. How much is he compromised? And the fact that you're off an overtime game, they have the rest advantage, you're on the road yet again. Everything points to a Seattle win if they take care of the ball.
Did you realize that Stafford is 6-1 straight up against the Seahawks with the Rams?
Yeah, McVay and Stafford have very good numbers.
Yep.
Stafford even better numbers against Seattle. Yes.
The only loss was that Week 16 debacle. There's also this NFC title teams entering on a 7-plus game win streak are 0-6 straight up in this game. But, I mean, that game was peppered with three and outs by Seattle. So I don't know if they're going to get the 55-yard runs again from Kenneth Walker. Again, there's no Zach Charbonnet. Are they going to get the punt return for a touchdown from Rashid Shaheed in this game?
Uh-huh.
Again, you've been saying this all week. Kick it through the end zone on kickoffs. And by the way, on punts, I would also say kick it out of bounds. You can't let Shaheed beat you here in this spot.
Yep.
And also the Rams, by the way, had a first and 10 at midfield with 1:02 left. They missed a field goal that would have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
Incomplete pass, yada, yada, yada. that was a miracle that the Seahawks got that win. And I don't know if that's getting enough attention. Now, you could probably come back and throw the Week 11 game in my face and say Darnold threw for 130 yards, or Stafford did. Darnold had four INTs, and they had a chance to win the game at the buzzer with a long field goal, and they never did.
Yeah, that's the incredible thing. The two matchup, that's 58-57, and the yards are 830 to 829. Mm-hmm. I mean, give me a break. But that's why turnovers and what Sal Pal talked about, that's been the story of the playoffs, especially last week with the silly quarterback play, and also the special teams could bite him in the ass. More so, I think no score first 5.5 minutes, it looks good. And the fact that McVay has talked about, I did a bad job, but I didn't get the ball enough to Williams and establish the run more against the Bears.
Yep.
And what he said after the game, walking up to Allen and said, "You kicked our ass. Great job, Chicago." But it's a nasty Seattle defense. And I'm concerned about Stafford's health and the fact that the rest advantage, the overtime, special teams, all of it. And it feels like Seattle's going to win a lower scoring game.
Are you concerned at all about Darnold against this Rams defense? Again, I mentioned the four INTs the first time they played this year. Let me take you back to the wild card round last year in the playoffs when Darnold was with a 14-win Minnesota Vikings outfit. They went to LA to play, lost 27-9.
Yeah, you don't have to brum out. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Darnold was sacked 9 times in the game.
It was terrible. Yeah. He was seeing ghosts again. But mm-hmm. that's what we've talked about. It's historic where you have the one seed who has a player who led the league in turnovers. It's unprecedented, and it's going to start with him. But I think Kupp can have a big game. JSN and the rushing attack will be there, and they'll be able to contain this Rams offense. I think the last game was a fluke, and I think it will be more so in line with what happened in L.A. when they still should have won the game and Darnold was sloppy with the ball.
I'm seeing the money line again as high as minus 155. On the Seahawks earlier this week, down as low as minus 131 right now.
Yeah.
So money is coming in on the Rams to win the game outright.
I'm surprised by that. Also, this is big. And growing up in Minnesota, and we know what's going on, everyone be safe out there. Be careful with all the weather. But Evan Abrams with this, when you're an indoor team and you go outdoors for a title game the last 50 years, you're 0-15 straight up and 2-13 against the spread. I got indoors, outdoors. I have a quarterback with a bad finger. You can come back and give me the oblique. But I'm also coming off an overtime game, and I'm playing my third straight playoff game on the road. And they have a rest advantage. And the game was over in the second quarter against the Niners. Everything's going against me here if I'm the Rams.
I will say the one thing, too, under Mike McDonald, who you're going to hear from in a second, Seahawks are actually a better road team than they are at home.
Yeah. But it's a tough place to play, and that's, you know, they won 11
super
in a row
loud
in the playoffs. When fans are there, too.
All right, so let's go back to that Week 11 game. Again, the game in which Darnold threw four INTs. That was the one played. Low scoring, not a lot of yards. And the Rams won it by a couple of points. Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald actually said this week, kind of glad they lost that game.
That's funny. I think if you took a straw poll from the guys around the team, I think that game was a game where it really came into focus about what type of team we could be, you know, and that we have a special group that was resilient as heck and had each other's backs and we're going to stick up for each other and fight like heck for 60 minutes and really becoming the team that we wanted to be. We started to have some real evidence of it, even though it wasn't really the outcome that we wanted. So kind of glad that it happened. You know, you're kind of like, you know, it's stunk in the moment, but given where we're at now, like that was a important part of our season that I felt like something maybe we had to go through to get to the point where we're at now.
Done a hell of a job with this team.
Yeah.
Who's their quarterback if Darnold goes back to Minnesota?
Good question. I don't know. And it also, remember, we were talking before the season about we would expect Jalen Milroe at some point in a Milroe package, which never happened. But how this guy can change everything, where it was Minnesota said we have to move on, he cost himself a lot of money, and now the guy's one game away from going to the Super Bowl after being labeled a bust and never worked out anywhere. It's an incredible storyline if he's able to win this.
Oh, by the way, and of course, that game's the late game.
Mm-hmm.
I say that just because it all works out for the NFL where you have this marquee matchup. I get it. It's the one versus the number two, but let's be honest here. The Rams and Seahawks is a heavyweight bout that we're talking about. There's also news on the other game, the AFC game. DraftKings right now is at Patriots -3.5 on the game.
Yep. So that trend goes out the window then. Home dogs of catching four or more, 9-0 ATS all time. That would go out the window if it settles there and still the biggest home dog in a title game since 1968. We'll see. We'll see what this kid can do. Finally, we're getting the New England perspective about all you guys are delusional. You're out of your minds. This guy's going to be mediocre at best. And but you retweeted it. Dave Tooley with a great find. When he was in New Orleans and Breeze got hurt, Peyton went 8-1 with Bridgewater and Taysom Hill. That's a good find by Tooley. And the fact that in Peyton we trust, and they paid this guy a lot of money, if he's able to go out there, and now it looks like he'll have Dobbins, and he's going to have Bryant back, that this guy can make enough plays and they could win the game.
Yeah, also, it goes back a little bit deeper than that. Tooley found that Peyton's about 18-6 overall in his career. That includes 1-1 in Denver in 2023 when Stidham was playing the last two games in place of Russell Wilson. So I know other people have ruled out like the third and fourth stringers. Tooley went back, documented this, looked at all the games. He has a grade at 18-6 lifetime, Sean Payton, with backup quarterbacks. That run that he was on with Teddy Bridgewater was bonkers, man.
It was.
You wanted to be on Teddy Two Gloves every single game.
Yes, yes. So he becomes the first quarterback since Staubach in 1972 to throw his first pass in a title game. That's crazy. Or first start in a title game. First pass in a playoff game has never happened before. Mm-hmm. In a season, rather. So he's the big outlier here and see how he can play. And I'm going to make the case that he can go over his prop and put up some good numbers and some of these big tickets can cash.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, recent betting results for this weekend. And we will tell you that simply doing this has been 19-9 ATS over the last 20 years. Details on that next here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
News coming across right now, injury report-wise, for the AFC title game, J.K. Dobbins is not going to make it back. He's out. Pat Bryant, wide receiver, no designation on the IR, so he is going to play your guy, Pauly Helani, activated off the IR, so he is, in theory, going to be there to back up Kenneth Walker. We head out here to the Progressive guest line and go to Parts Unknown. Our buddy Adam Chernoff joins the program now. Hey, Adam, what's going on, man?
It's going great. This has been a fun week. I see Paulie's on the phone. He's rushing to get RJ Harvey props over in with that Dobbins news. Is that what's going on?
I want to wait for a minute because I want to bet more on Harvey under for the rushing yards anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You said something interesting during the break, and you tweeted out as well, that you can't recall a backup quarterback getting this much hype in terms of, oh, he's going to show you, and people making the case that he's going to put up big numbers here from a guy who hasn't completed a pass in 3 years and has one career win.
You would think he's a top 10 quarterback the way that he's being talked about. Yes. That is Jarrett Stidham. It's wild. As long as I can remember and as long as I'm going to live, I cannot imagine a scenario where there's a backup QB that's going to be talked about with this high regard. I mean, it started Monday morning, and it's like every single person that I'm reading online, so many media personalities, ex-players, teammates. I mean, everybody's talking about Stidham like he's a top 10 quarterback in the league. And so, yeah, it's I know we got two games left. I don't recall anything like this. I don't, maybe something comes to your mind, but nothing for me like this.
Okay. Well then what do you think of the point spread in that game and how it's developed now throughout the entire week? First of all, opened up 6 you know what? DraftKings was down to 3.5 earlier today. They're back to 4.5 now. So what have you noticed overall?
So I think the main talking point is obviously the look ahead line and where it was the Broncos as a slight favorite. And that was before the games were played last weekend and the injuries. I don't believe that that's where this game would have opened, and I don't believe that is where this game would have closed if Nix was not hurt, given how the games played out last week. And I think we would have probably saw pick as an opener. I think New England would have taken a little bit of money off of that. And so I get what everybody is looking at and saying that that initial opener of six, based on what happened, that was a lot. And the market quickly corrected that. We're at 4.5s for the most part now. I think that point spread is going to come down. I think we're still going to see some Denver money come in just because this sentiment against it or in favor of Stidham, but against the adjustment up, is just so strong. I think that's going to ride into the weekend. My favorite bet on this game is absolutely on the total, and that's my favorite of the weekend. Do we want to get into that matchup?
No doubt. Yeah,
please.
So to me, I don't want to bet into this QB back and forth. I don't buy into it being that big of a miss. What I do buy into is that both teams and both offenses are going to move the ball, and this game is going to go over 42.5. So focusing still on Stidham, which is the big talking point, Peyton has said that he is going to come out and the strategy is they're going to sling it. Like, they're going to let him throw. But the reason they're going to let him throw is because the Broncos offensive line is really, really, really good. And the Patriots pass rush coming into the playoffs and ending the regular season was a big problem for New England. But it's looked really good because they've played the Chargers and the Texans, who do not have good offensive lines whatsoever.
Yeah.
They've also got two indoor teams going outdoors into weather-impacted games where the defense was kind of able to feast, and you saw just an all-time bad QB performance from C.J. Stroud. So to me, this Patriots defense is overrated because of who they have faced, and now they're going on the road into Denver to play a great offensive line. It doesn't matter if it's Nix or Stidham or, God forbid, Ben DiNucci. Whoever's the Broncos quarterback in his pocket's going to have time. They're going to be throwing the football. They're going to be able to make plays. And so that's point number one on that side. On the other side, speaking of overrated defenses, the Broncos finished the regular season playing two backup quarterbacks, and they held both of them to 13 and 3 points. The last four games that we have seen this defense play against starting quarterbacks who are not injured without any backups being involved for the last 6 weeks, and they've conceded at least 26 points in each of those and haven't been able to get off the field and haven't been able to get stops. And to me, New England coming in a lot better than some of these offenses that they have played, not named the Buffalo Bills, who, by the way, didn't have wide receivers. And so Drake May has been awesome in extending time in the pocket. Even those concerns with left tackle here for the Pats, I think he navigates them. So to me, both of these offenses move it. Both of these defenses overrated. We have a total, perhaps more importantly, that was adjusted down from 46 on those look-aheads to 42.5. To me, that's too low. I think this one goes over. It's my favorite bet of the weekend.
Very good. Excellent point as well. New England was 26th in sacks, and Chargers looked terrible, and then Roman lost his job as a result of it. How about the under move in the NFC title game today?
Well, it's a question of our both of these quarterbacks hurt.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. Last week at this time when we were talking, there was a lot of concern about Sam Darnold and what's his health and what's his status. And this week he was held back from throwing activities. And so this probably isn't a Harbaugh and Baltimore-esque style of McDonald playing the news and trying to make everybody think that Darnold's actually hurt. We also didn't get really a glimpse of what might be wrong, because last week he completed 12 passes and they won by 35 points, which is one of the craziest box scores you're ever going to see. But after they returned the opening kick for a TD, I mean, Sam Darnold didn't have to do anything whatsoever in that game, especially with some of the short fields that they were given. So how hurt is Sam Darnold? And what are we looking at with Stafford? He hasn't looked the same since the hand injury when he hit the helmet in the first playoff game. So that's something that stands out, which I think is contributing to some of this under money coming in. I think a second thing is just the Seahawks' overwhelming defense and how great they looked, but also the Rams back-to-back-to-back road games. You have the overtime game, which in the regular season tends to throttle offense as well. So I think all of that is playing into this under coming down. And we might see that continue. Maybe we see a closer here of about 45, the way that this is trending. But as I look at this, to me, the side is the play here. As you're looking at the Rams plus 2.5, that is how I would look in this game. And I think the liability, the biggest one here for either side, as you're looking at this matchup, is the Seahawks issue at left tackle is very real. We might see, I mean, depends who starts, but all three options that they have at left tackle are far from 100%. So the Rams have a very clear path to generate a lot of pressure, to blitz, to bring extra guys. That's where Sam Darnold throughout his entire career has really struggled. And he struggled this season too, when that has been the case. And I think back to the last time that these two teams played, the Rams didn't have Adams. They didn't have Dotson. They didn't have Lake on the defensive side. All of those guys are back. It's a much different team. And that was a game the Rams most certainly should have won. And so if the Rams are able to generate a lot of pressure, cause Darnold some issues, you don't have your better blocking running back with Charbonnet out in the backfield, so it's going to take Walker into a bit of a different role, and you have the chance here that this is Darnold perhaps not 100% dealing with some issues coverage wise that he's not been able to beat his entire career, and I think that's a really big advantage for the Rams. And so as difficult as it might be for them to move it on the offensive side, even if they go heavier personnel, to me the Rams defense has potentially a pretty big advantage, and that 49ers outcome might be a little bit misleading relative to what's going on with the injury situation.
I will tell you this, for I think for Seattle backers in this game, they better hope what you said doesn't happen right away, and that is the Rams getting heat on Darnold from the get-go, because remember what happened last year in the playoff game when he played the Rams defense for the Vikings and they got in his face right away, and all the jokes took off like wildfire, like, uh-oh, he's seeing ghosts again. And like, it was never the same. Like, they never got back into that game, and he was just lost out there on the field the way it looked.
As a Jets fan, I know that feeling all too well. And sadly, having him in those ghost games, looking back on it, was our peak QB play of the last decade as a fan. But you're 100% right. If this starts early, he's not 100%, you get that pressure, this could spiral in a hurry for that Seattle offense. So it's hard not to think about that, and it's a big edge for the Rams. You're right.
What Super Bowl do you want to see?
I want to see the Pats against the Rams, not for the rematch sake, but just you get the two MVP quarterbacks going at it. I think the props that will come from that, far more exciting than having a backup quarterback and Darnold and the Seahawks, which is kind of a unique offense that's very top heavy with one guy. So give me the two better QBs, give me the two better offenses, give me a bit higher scoring, give me more props, and you get all the wide receiver runs that the teams employ and stuff. There'll be a lot of angles with that.
Yep, we totally agree. You can follow him on X. He is at Adam Chernoff. Awesome as always. Thank you. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the two games.
You too. He was on the Progressive Guest Line. Up next, let's get nuts. Have some guts. Paulie has long shot bets for the two title games. And I'll give you an under-the-radar player who has been on fire from deep in the NBA coming up next.
Always follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. Football Friday here. We are live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. Busy hour coming up. We'll run down some numbers from recent years. Championship weekend. We'll get you our best bets in pocket and plays. And right now, a full half an hour with professional sports better. And the winner of this year's Friday Football Invitational here at Circa, Chris Massaro, man. Congratulations, pal. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much, Mitch. It was a fun run the last couple months. I just got on a little bit of a heater on that contest. I never had, you pick seven games a week. I never had an 0-7. I never had a 1-6. I think I had 1-2-5, but it was mostly consistently going 4-3, 5-2, 6-1, 4-3, 5-2, 6-1. And at the end, it got the job done. It was a tough list of competitors. I remember when Human sent the first initial email out, I'm like, wow, there's some really big heavy hitters in this contest. A lot of Vegas legends. So to be able to win the contest, a little bit of a feather in my cap. But, it's only what you've done for me lately. So we'll see how it goes. And hopefully we can get a couple more winners this weekend.
Okay. So you called me the resident Patriots hater here during the break. I did send out a tweet after the Chargers game saying I can't wait for this team to get their ass kicked by a real team, actually. I don't think they're going to have to play a real team till the Super Bowl is a problem. So Now, that aside, I was also this week begging for one person, my God, to make the case that it might not go well for Jared Stidham and this love affair with the Broncos and this guy as a backup quarterback has to end. Like, can somebody please make the case for the Patriots? We finally got that a little bit yesterday. We got it a little bit more earlier today. I'm guessing that you think this is going to be, what, a rout?
I'm not saying it's going to be a rout. Let's just take a step back. We have the schedule talk, okay? Obviously, they had the weakest schedule in the league based on the numbers. But guess who had the second weakest schedule? Denver.
Can't deny it.
Can't deny that. But the product of the schedule is just, you know, it's basically who's in your division, okay? So everyone's pumping up the tires of the Rams that they have the greatest schedule when it came to the MVP debate versus May and Stafford. If you just flip-flop in the Rams schedule, if you take the Niners out of the Rams schedule and send them over to the Patriots schedule, and you take the Jets out of the Patriots schedule and send them over to the Rams. Now, let's assume the Rams beat the Jets twice like the Patriots did, and the Patriots split with San Francisco. If you do the schedules after that with all the records and then count the two playoff games, the Patriots schedule is stronger than the Rams. It's only one team. It's just like, it's a little bit exaggerated. And to say that the Chargers are not a real team, everyone was talking about how great the Chargers were. They were, you know, top five in defense. They have Herbert as the quarterback. They're going to go into Foxborough. They're going to have the running game going. They're going to be able to sack May a bunch of times. And then Houston, they were on a, what, 10 or 11 game win streak? You know, they come into Foxborough. It's not like the Patriots are just eking by. And I'll admit, Drake May hasn't played great in the playoffs, but it's not like they're eking by. They're the only team that's covered won and covered two games in the playoffs. No one else has done that. So we'll see what happens. I'm a little bit optimistic about the Patriots. I'll tell you why. I don't think it comes down to, as we were just talking before the segment started, I don't think it comes down to Bo Nix or Stidham. And, you know, the Stidham talk has gotten a little out of control.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought he might be, second for MVP, Stidham, like the way they've been talking about him this week. I've never heard anything like this. And it's been on every show, every station, you know, the ESPNs, you guys. I just think it's nuts. But I don't think it comes down to that. I think it comes down to the defense. And Denver's defense, if you take out, I heard Adam before me mention it, you know, they played Kansas City without Mahomes, and they played the Chargers without Herbert when they weren't trying, when they had Trey Lance in there. Mm-hmm. Take those two games out. The last three games, Green Bay, Jacksonville, Buffalo, they gave up 5.9 yards a play against Green Bay, 5.5 yards a play against Jacksonville, and 5.8 yards a play against Buffalo. That would rank them 26 in the NFL. This defense is not what everyone says it is. A lot of that defensive stuff is cracked up from earlier in the season, playing weaker opponents. It is not a good defense. And if you watch the first drive last week, I mean, James Cook was, you could have drive us, you know, a semi-truck through these holes. And I think the Patriots ground game is going to be fine. The key to the game is Drake May protecting the ball, because you know the pass rush is going to come, and we all know the Patriots don't have a good offensive line. You know, it's gonna be a problem. But he cannot leave that ball hanging out there. They also need to help Will Campbell. They got to either chip with a running back or a tight end, because he is just not. I mean, short arms aside, it's, you know, he's still a rookie left tackle, and he's had, you know, 3 weeks in a row dominant edge rushers on his side coming at him. I mean, Danielle Hunter last week, Will Anderson, they're flip flopping on him. You know, he was spinning like a top. So they're gonna have to help him out. But if Drake May can protect the ball, I think the Patriots are going to score 27, 28 points like they've done all year. 28.1 they've averaged. Number one in the NFL, tied for yards per play at 6. The average margin of victory in the wins is 13.3. I could see this game getting away, because I don't see a path with Denver being able to run the ball, because they don't like to run it anyways versus the Patriots' run defense. What are they going to do? They're going to let Stidham throw it 60 times, 50 times? They threw it 46 times last week, which was insane against Buffalo's defense. I just don't see that as a recipe for success, and I would expect a couple interceptions if that's going to be the case.
Well, one thing that certainly helps them out every single week is they're well-coached, and they have the lead at halftime. How about this ATS machine with what they're doing, 16-0-1 run, money line first half?
It's unbelievable. What is it, 17-1, 17 or 16-1-1 against the spread on the money line, and that with the spread, excuse me, it's 14-2-2 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's just
like
been
that.
Unbelievable. Even, I mean, the Charger game was, we got a little lucky on that one.
That was lucky. 16-3, I think.
But
ATS,
I heard you mentioned, DraftKings was 1.5. But I mean, you just lay the money line. They are well prepared. They start fast, and it's just been working. I don't see any reason to change. Right.
Boston guy, are you concerned? It's been a house of horrors, and leaving Saturday night.
The Saturday night thing, I went back and forth. I talked to you yesterday. I knew a friend of mine who's out in Colorado a lot. He says, you know, when you're exerting the energy early, it's not that day that it really affects you. It's like the next day. So hopefully they get out and they'll have time to rest for the Super Bowl. Vrabel said you wouldn't be able to get acclimated, you know, until if you can't, you'd have to come out 10 days or 8 days ahead of time to be acclimated. So as for House of Horrors, yes. I remember as a kid, 1987, I believe, we had Mosey Tatupu around the edge. He fumbled. 0-4, even Brady couldn't win there in the playoffs. You know, some really memorable games. Coincidentally, you know, 10 years ago, they played there for the AFC Championship game. It was one of Brady's greatest games. We, you know, some people say he might have been concussed. They,
right.
They were just unbelievable comeback and the catch to Gronk. And then, you know, Gostkowski missed the extra point early, so they had to go for two and didn't get it. So that was the noodle arm Peyton Manning year. So
that was the game that the front for the Broncos was in Brady's face the entire time.
Yes, they were. Yeah. He took the biggest beating of his career, I think, in that game. Maybe you could say the Giants Super Bowl game or the last game of the season versus the Giants in 07 year. You know, that's the method. Pressure up the middle has always, you know, killed the Patriots. So it's a little bit of a house of horrors, but, you know, none of these guys are involved in that rivalry, so it's just a whole new slate.
Well, you were buying in early, and here's a couple tickets to prove it. This was after the Sunday night game when they went to Buffalo and won. Here's a couple of your future tickets that you made on the Patriots. Walk us through what you were thinking and why you jumped in. Now, they were as high as 80-1, but you have 60-1 Super Bowl and 23-1 to win the AFC.
Yeah, well, what happened was, and that day, I remember it was still, you know, baseball season. You guys were sitting out front. I was doing Stormy and JVT show, and I always want to come on with something, you know, something new or something different. I don't want to give out a favorite. So I came down, and Circa had 13-1 for the division. And Drake May 95-1 for MVP. So that was the day I made those bets. At that point, I wasn't really sure if, you know, the team was going to be good enough, you know, to actually make this type of a deep run. But after they beat Buffalo that game, then you start looking at the schedule and you say, wow, look at these numbers. So I went around town at Westgate. I have 60-1 for the Super Bowl. And at Caesars, I had 23-1 for AFC. So I'm in a great spot. I tried to get cued a couple times, you know, leading up to it with taking the points with Chargers in Houston. That didn't work out, so kind of gave a little bit of it away, but I'm in a really strong position. I had the Miami ticket as well at 100-1, which I got the day before the selection show at Circa. So I was able to manipulate with some parlays with Indiana to win it and, you know, taking some stuff with, you know, Indiana Monday night with, I have Broncos up to 7.5, Broncos 5.5, Broncos plus 6. So I'm hoping for a middle. Hopefully the Patriots can get the job done by...
Tied in with Indiana?
Yeah, tied in with Indiana, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
By the way, thank you. You're the one who put me on Drake May MVP.
Yeah, so I had some guy, you know, tweet me on Twitter yesterday telling me he was a new follower. So, hey, you're getting some attention here. You said you're a new follower, but he wanted to know why I had Drake May in my bio. And I had it all written out. I was going to say, you know, say something, and I decided to just save it I didn't need to get upset, but as you know, Mitch, we can monetize.
Yes, for sure. That's right.
So every time Stafford became plus money, you know, we took a little piece. So I took a little bigger piece. I actually bet three guys for MVP this year. I had Baker Mayfield early, which was obviously a no-go. I had Drake May next, and then Stafford was 12-1. I think, you know, probably like the beginning of November, I want to say, or maybe the end of October. I have him at 12-1. I took more when May became the favorite a couple weeks ago. So I'm in a good spot. Obviously, I win more money if Drake May wins. But if Stafford wins, which he's probably going to win based on Kelce and whatnot, I'm still going to make out great.
Yeah.
I think one thing, though, is to that one got by me. The May, I didn't see it. Like, I didn't put two and two together. And so when you pay attention to this stuff on a daily basis and you're, like, looking for divisions and you're looking for conference numbers and the MVP stuff, like, I love betting futures.
Well, that's a great point. You had 13-1 division.
Yeah.
Remember the Buffalo hype, and then Buffalo got off to a hot start. They were like 2,500 to win the division.
That was one you never even had to hedge. It was just you never had to hedge. I mean, you could maybe have taken Buffalo when they were two games down, when they were playing the Patriots, and they did beat them. But the tiebreakers, because the Patriots had a better division record because the Buffalo Bills lost to Miami that time. So you have to look ahead. Like you were talking about on your Pod to the Future thing about looking for the college basketball teams that can make a run, or you want to get the numbers at a great number. I came on with Dustin last week and I told everyone Florida, if they beat Vanderbilt on Saturday, that 27 or 32 to 1 is going to be long gone, and now they're 14 to 1.
Good call. Yep, we'll continue. Professional sports better. Chris Massaro up next. We'll get his thoughts on the NFC title game, how he is betting Rams-Seahawks coming up.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in here on a Football Friday. We are live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard. We'll get the in-pocket plays coming up in about a half an hour. And we continue here with professional sports bettor Chris Massaro, really making your case for the Patriots in that first segment. Let me ask you this. Did you add any last Sunday before they played the Texans when you knew that Nix was out and that it was going to be Jared Stidham, and if the Patriots beat Houston as a three-point favorite, they were still plus money to win the AFC last week?
No, I would have, but I was actually thinking maybe I should take some Houston because I had the big future tickets. I'm like, wow, what would Houston be to make the Super Bowl? And I was thinking about doing some, because it's great when you have futures, and you know, your buddy there, and I became friends with him this year, Chris from Missouri there.
Yeah.
We talk about a bunch about futures and how some people are like, oh, you should never hedge. But I do a lot of my future betting because I want to hedge. I want to just somehow monetize the ticket, make a profit. And with futures like that, and when it gets down to the final four, you can do the exactas, you can do the exact result, you can do that stuff is huge. And you know, and it might not be the greatest value late, but when you already have a ticket, I was looking at, wow, maybe I should bet Seattle or the Rams to beat Houston in the Super Bowl, you know, as just a different type of hedge. I ended up not doing anything, and I was a little nervous as the game. I mean, I had a couple tickets, but they were in before Nix was hurt. But I didn't jump on like, you know, more on New England. Okay. I just didn't do that.
Fair enough. Okay, so then how are you looking at the other game, the late game on Sunday, NFC title game? Seahawks a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Rams.
Well, another bet that I think we both have, I think yours is a little different. I saw Jason sent me a screenshot of that bet I think you guys are teaming up on. I also have the Rams at 17-1 for NFC.
NFC?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So that was a bet I made. I think you might have been with me. We were at the Wynn watching college basketball, and I heard the rumor that Davante Adams was going to come to the Rams. And I'm like, and I heard a guest was on the talking about, oh, I kept betting the Rams. David Baker for NFC. I wish I would just kept betting it. I have a decent sized bet, so it's a good position for me. I did take a little bit in a future parlay 2 weeks ago for Seattle to win the NFC because I didn't have anything on Seattle. I had the Rams, I had the Bears at 25-1. So I'm in a good spot. I do like the Rams in this game. Both the games played this year have been decided by 2 points or less, one by 2 points, one by 1 point. So the win had 3 -120 the other day. So I did bet the Rams, not a huge bet because I already have the Rams to win. But I think if this game, it comes down to it, I think these are probably the two best teams in the NFC, if not the NFL. I feel like it's going to be a field goal game. And I think 3 is pretty good value, even though you get to lay a little bit extra juice. You can't go past Sam Darnold. I mean, 6 interceptions, first the Rams this year. Yep. Going back to the playoff game last year, another interception. He was only 25 for 40, I believe, in that game, you know, or 20 for 35. You know, he was, you know, very inaccurate. And you gotta feel that the Rams know they can move the ball. That game 5 weeks ago, 581 yards of offense, 6.6 yards of play. I don't think they're afraid of the Seattle defense. You know, hopefully they, you know, they didn't even have Davante Adams in that game. So I'm on the Rams. I know that a lot of people like the under. I saw the move to the under today. Maybe the quarterbacks are hurt.
You think Stafford's hurt? He hasn't looked the same.
He hasn't looked the same. And, you know, although last week it was brutal conditions and the cold. It's not going to be that bad in Seattle. It's supposed to be like 45 degrees. So they have a full complement of their offense. And I'll say another thing. Everyone's high and mighty on Seattle right now. And they played well. I will say that. But look at their last three games. They played Carolina when Bryce Young was 12 for 24 for 54 yards. Then they played a totally beaten-up San Fran team twice. And, I mean, last game, San Fran had some guys back, but it was over before it started.
Well, you got to give the defense credit.
No, I do, but listen, they had a kickoff return for a touchdown at home. Place is going bananas. Then they go, they turn it over on downs, and then the next series they turned it, they had a fumble. So, you know, it's 17-0 before the game was over before it started. So, like you mentioned, it's kind of a bye week. I just think it's a different animal. The Rams have been, you know, the number one power rated team all year. They were the favorites throughout until they had to go on the road three times. That's when it switched. I think if you go back 2 weeks and, you know, like Mitch was saying, if they had won that game, they would have been the number one seed. You know, they're at home. They're probably what? You know, they're the favorite now. So I think I'm going to give the Rams one more shot at this because I don't trust – I mean, he can prove me wrong. He can win the Super Bowl, but I'll never trust Sam Darnold until he probably does that.
So that's basically the key to the handicap for you. It comes down to one guy.
Yeah, because if they're going to get a lot of pressure, that, you know, there's some injuries on that Seattle line. That tackle didn't look too sharp last week. I don't trust him in the big moments. Like when things go bad, except for the time, you know, 5 weeks ago where he threw that pick six, and then somehow they won the game. I still don't know how it happened.
It was beyond a miracle.
It's beyond a miracle. A 2-point conversion that shouldn't have counted. They got 3 2-point conversions. One of them that shouldn't have counted.
I forgot about the 2-point. We go to commercial
outrageous.
Break. I forgot about that.
Come back. I'm like,
I picked the ball up. Oh, okay.
Yeah. People, I forget who was announcing that game. He's like, oh, that was such a sharp move. I'm like, he wasn't. He didn't even know. He thought the play was over.
No clue. Just
picking it up.
It was Herb Street and Michaels.
Oh, yeah. Herb Street was saying it was such an intelligent, smart, heady play to pick the ball up, you know. So I think, I don't know. I just like the fact, and I know you were saying under. I like over in this game, too. I mean, the Rams defense hasn't been great. They've given up a lot of points the last few weeks. You know, they didn't give up a lot of points last week, but that was due to the fact that Caleb Williams, for all the praise he got about the second half, he was awful in the first half. And he had 3 interceptions, throwing it to the worst places. So, I mean, Chicago should have put up more points, and they left a lot of points on the field. What did they have? 3 field goals they could have went for. They didn't. So the Rams defense is going to give up some points. I could see this game being another type of shootout. I'm not sure why the line moved down today. Maybe there's injuries I don't know about. You know, maybe Stafford is hurt. Maybe Donald's thing will flare up again. But I wouldn't want to be on the under in this game in the second half when things are going back and forth.
Well, you know what's going to happen? The Patriots are going to play Seattle, and something's going to happen to Darnold.
Oh, come on.
So you know what's going to
happen.
That's what's going to happen.
Come on. So all of a sudden, the Chargers, who are, you know, they were great. They beat who? Like, I guess you can
come
say.
Come on.
No, nobody said they were great.
You can say this,
Mitch.
You do, and you do say this. You do say this, which I kind of agree with. Who's good? Nobody, really.
Yeah. Other than,
the Rams were probably the highest power rated team for the majority of the year. Yep. Their defense is terrible. It's just not a good
game. They get no pressure on the quarterback.
Which they should.
They've got dudes all over.
They have Verse and all these guys that are just these powerful guys that are supposed to be making all these plays, but they don't. And for some reason, their back end of the secondary is just not good. And you've seen it all year. I mean, the 5 games not in the playoffs, the last 5 games of the year, not counting Arizona, they gave up 31 twice to Carolina. I mean, they gave up 30. All the yards
special
they gave
teams.
Up to Seattle. Yep. I mean, they're kind of a leaky defense.
Would you like to recommend a this year? You had Texas Tech 300-1. Is there a Texas Tech out there that you could be looking at from next year, or anything you recommend in college hoops?
I was down at Hoover Dam underneath the underpass yesterday, and I didn't put anything in. I was just like, I could probably wait, but I would look for a team, obviously, in the Big 12 or the ACC because that's where the big prices are. Because one of those teams have to get in. So maybe you look at Virginia Tech, 150-1.
Shop around. I got 350-1 yesterday.
So a Cal, you know, you got Sagapuletelli, who's a, you know, stud quarterback. I liked how Cal played this year. They had some low-level games, but they had some games where they shocked the world in some of them, too. So you know, I'm not sure in the Big 12, because Texas Tech's reloading, and you're not going to get 200-1 again like I had last year, but... You know, we'll see. It's one of those ones where you got to look for the ACC or the Big 12 because the power conference, you know, SEC and Big 10, you know, those teams are not going to be more than 20-1. You know, the usual suspects. So I would say maybe Virginia Tech. That's probably a good one, or Cal or SMU maybe too. I know you liked SMU.
Yes, yeah. They should be a juggernaut.
They're gonna spend money.
That's what Cignetti's talking about when he says it's a new world.
They got billionaires. And they beat Miami.
They made it the year before.
I wasn't a big fan of Jennings. I think he's kind of erratic. I'm not sure. Is he back next year? I'm not sure if he's back or not.
You like Mensah if that goes through and he goes to Miami?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Mensah fan. I feel like he can make all the throws. He's mobile. He reminds me, you know, he's not as good as Jaden Daniels, but I think he's a hell of a player. You know, he had a couple high turnover games last year, but if he had just won one more game, I would have had, you know, I had Duke at 1,000-1. last year, and they win the league. That was my prediction, and they don't even get in. So
yeah,
I had them for ACC too, so it worked out okay.
All right, there's the ticket.
I will say for college basketball, because last year I was trying to find some ones. I do like Florida, even though they're down, but you can get Florida still at 5-1 to just to make the Final Four. And I heard you talking about Kansas. We'll see if Peterson can stay healthy. You can get them at 750 just to make the Final Four. I like BYU at 700 to make the Final Four.
They're 700 to make the Final Four?
Plus 700.
Ooh, mama. I'm going to have to take a slice of that.
So I have a bunch of future parlays already in, but I like the fact that you can play future parlays with just to make the Final Four. And hey, you might have teams in different brackets. You might hit more than one of them.
Sure you could.
You're not just hitting one.
Yep. Good point.
He's very active on X. If you'd like to follow him there, at Real Gage.
That's correct, Mitch. There Real Gage, go. The old dog. We still keep him in our thoughts, even though he's been gone for 3 years. But we still like him. He was a big, big lug. Everyone loved him.
Have a great weekend, man.
All right, thanks, Mitch. Thanks, Paulie.
There you go. Chris Massaro. We'll tell you how home dogs have done over the years. Teams with a rest advantage playing a third straight game on the road. And results for teams off an overtime game coming up next.